You know, you guys don't need me to tell you that sometimes following halakha can be hard. What's interesting is that at different times and different places, different areas of halakha have been harder for people to keep than in others. So for example, in the middle of the 19th century, Mehmed Rachel Salanter launched something known today as the Musar movement. And he did so because he looked around him, starting in the late 1840s and then into the 1850s, and he saw a society where young men in particular were learning the Torah in greater numbers than probably ever before in history. Where people in Eastern Europe were keeping halachos bein adam lamakom, between man and God, with such punctuality, with such preciseness, that had been unmatched, at least in hundreds of years. But yet when it became time for halachos bein adam lechaveira, for interpersonal halachos, for the way that these same people who were sitting and learning or davening acted amongst each other, not so good. And if you saw Salanter notice the discrepancy and how hard it was for people of his generation to follow halachos bein adam lechaveira, the Musar movement was born. Now raise your hand, how many people have heard of somebody by the name of Chafetz Chaim? Okay, good. Who was the Chafetz Chaim?
Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan.
Good. And lived approximately when?
19th century.
Late 19th century into the 20th century. Excellent. You just told me his name, Yisrael Meir Kagan, right? HaKohen, Meiradin, right? Why do we call him the Chafetz Chaim?
That's his sefer.
Excellent. By a show of hands, including the faculty in the room, how many people in this room have actually read the book called Chafetz Chaim? I'll take part of it. Great. Hands down. The Chafetz Chaim wrote something else. What else did the Chafetz Chaim write? What else did the Chafetz Chaim write? The Mishnah Brura. Good, by a show of hands, how many people have read a piece of Mishnah Brura in this room? Mishnah Brura is a far more popular work today than the Chafetz Chaim or his work on Shmiras Halashon.
Why is it that the Chafetz Chaim is known as the Chafetz Chaim?
Chafetz Chaim refers to a work that he wrote on Lashon Hara. Yet we don't know him that way today. That's not the book we read.
Do you know why he was known as the Chafetz Chaim?
Because in his time, Lashon Hara was a real plague. It was a halacha that people found really difficult to follow. And so he wrote a book,
and his book was extremely popular in his day. A book all about how to keep away from Lashon Hara.
That was their struggle. We have different struggles. We live in a generation and a society
where the halachos that have to do
with any type of restriction on sexual activity
present a serious challenge. That's a struggle for our generation. That's a struggle for us
in the world that we live in. Because we live in a world that is more open
to sexuality and sexual behavior than probably any society since the ancient Greeks. And so, any type of halakha
whether it has to do with how we dress or how we speak,
what we watch, what we touch, how we behave, anything in that general area that has to do with restricting sexual behavior of some sort
is often seen by those in our circles as hard, as repressive,
as a particular challenge of something that we're not very excited about keeping.
Quick example. Is it amazing
that if I went up to any of you and I said, "Are you Shomer?" you would know immediately that I didn't mean Shomer Shabbos,
or Shomer Kashrus, or Shomer Lashon Hara? Why?
Because we have a particular challenge. There are certain things we're zoned in on because they're really hard for us. They're countercultural for us.
And so Shomer means one thing.
Shomer means to guard from. There are so many things that halacha we need to guard from, but in our minds, as modern Orthodox teenagers
living in Philadelphia area in the early 21st century, this is what's on our mind. This is hard for us.
I want to share with you a related halacha
that's equally as hard. You may not know it as well, but it's equally as hard, perhaps even harder.
Shows up at the beginning of this week's parasha. And I want to share with you an approach to understanding this halacha
with the goal that it's an approach that you can take and apply to other areas of halacha that you find
to be particularly hard. Because our initial instinct when we face halachos that are hard
is we belittle them. We make fun of them.
It's human nature. We'll put it down. It's not really so important.
It's archaic.
Rabbis didn't really know what they were talking about. That's what we do to make ourselves feel better. Because that feels better than saying, "Man, I'm not up to this.
This is too hard for me." So I want to give you an approach.
The beginning of this week's parasha tells us the following. It tells us that when a woman gives birth, she takes on the status of a nida.
She takes on the status of a nida not for 7 days, but for either 33 days or 66 days.
And the truth of the matter is that
in the world that we live in today, it's generally a few months after a woman gives birth that she is in a status of nida. Now, being in a status of nida means that a woman is asur l'ba'ala and that she's asur l'mikdash.
That a woman cannot be in physical contact with her husband.
And cannot be in physical contact with dvarim shebekdusha.
She can't go to the beis hamikdash. She can't touch things that have the status of kedusha.
Think about that for a moment. Husband and wife have their first child. An incredibly joyous occasion. A baby is born, and all of a sudden, husband and wife
are prohibited from each other. Holding hands.
Simple things. Can't do that.
Not for a day, not for two, but for weeks or months.
Now that sounds repressive. That sounds hard. That's the kind of thing that as 21st century modern Orthodox Jews we would look at and say, halacha is crazy.
So I want to share with you.
I think that every time we hit upon halachas that are hard, if we ask ourselves these two questions, we come out in a better place. We may not be ready, but we come out in a much better place. Question number one, is there beauty that I'm not seeing? And question number two, what's the bigger issue?
Because when I hear upon a halacha that's hard,
I almost always fail to see the beauty that may be there despite the hardship, or perhaps because of the hardship.
And number two, when I hear a halacha that's hard, I zone in on what's right in front of me, what I can't do because I want to do it, and I can't see the bigger picture. So let me show you,
or at least try, to show you both the beauty and the bigger picture in this particular halacha.
Again, with the purpose of you taking these questions with you the next time you encounter halacha that's hard, and ask yourself these questions. Where's the beauty, and what's the big picture?
Where's the beauty in this halacha that a woman becomes an eva after she gives birth?
Well, let me suggest the following.
When we focus, when we look at a halacha like this, we focus on the fact that a woman at that point is not allowed to come into physical contact
with her husband, with Vayrish and Kedusha,
the things she can't do,
the physical relationship in particular that she can't have.
Is it possible, though, that what the Torah is really telling us is not so much about the relationships that she can't have, but that there are certain relationships, certain physical elements of the relationship that aren't appropriate now because there's another physical relationship that's extremely important right now? Is it possible? That 3,000 years ago, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah,
he knew long before medical science caught up,
just about 10 years ago, and began producing a vast literature about the importance, the absolutely critical importance of touch to a newborn infant, particularly between a mother and a child.
For a newborn infant to develop properly, there has to be touch. There has to be physical closeness. There has to be holding and cuddling and paddling. It's not just something we do instinctually.
There's good science to back it up. It's what children need when they're born. Is it possible
that the Torah was telling us, yes, the moment a child is born, we stop and refrain from certain other physical relationships
to focus on another physical relationship which has to be developed, has to be developed right now?
You can't catch up 2 months later. It starts right now. You need to be close.
This is not a time for fostering other physical relationships. This is a time, by the way, for mothers and for fathers to get close, physically close, with the baby. And therefore, other physical relationships are prohibited. Perhaps there's beauty in the hardship.
And what's the bigger picture? Sometimes we zone in on what's right in front of us and we don't see the forest for the trees.
You know what we forget when we look at this halacha? That a man and a woman have to be separated immediately after birth, sometimes for weeks,
sometimes for a few months. That for 9 months leading up to the birth of the baby,
there are no restrictions whatsoever. None. Husbands and wives,
women and mikdash, it's the only time in a married life where there are no restrictions.
So what's the Torah telling us?
Perhaps the Torah is telling us that for the 9 months of pregnancy, it's extremely important for a husband and wife not only to be emotionally supportive, but to be physically supportive of one another.
Perhaps the Torah is telling us that this is a time where a woman, yes, has to go to Mikdash,
and has to daven, and has to get control close to God. It's an extremely important time.
Those 9 months leading up to the birth of a baby. It's extremely important to develop those relationships then. And then, yes, with the birth of a baby, things change. Things switch. The focus changes
from developing a husband-wife relationship, from a woman developing a relationship with God, to a focus on a baby and developing a relationship with a child.
And so perhaps in this halacha, we have both beauty and a beauty that gets extended when we can take ourselves out of the moment and see the bigger picture.
God telling us something. about how to develop relationships, when to develop relationships, with whom to develop relationships. And again, more than this halacha in particular, it's for you guys the next time you hit upon halacha that's hard for you. Ask yourself these two questions. Is there beauty there that perhaps I'm not seeing? And what is the bigger issue? Job's best.